Psalm 61, a Psalm of David. Hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer.
From the end of the earth I will cry to you. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I.
For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy.
I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings.
For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name.
You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations.
He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him.
So I will sing praise to your name forever, that I may daily perform my vows.
Okay, here we have in Psalm 61, at least in the New King James Version, the version that I have, is titled The Assurance of God's Eternal Protection. It's said to be a Psalm of David, so David wrote this, so it's one of those good old Psalms. And it begins as a prayer, and it's a prayer to God for protection, for help, when the one who wrote it, the psalmist, is overwhelmed. It says, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth I will cry to you when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For you have been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the shelter of your wings. As we read that, it seems like, I don't want to say normal or standard, but it's a fairly standard prayer here we find in the Psalms. That when the one is overwhelmed, when there's trouble, crying out to God in prayer. In verse 2, from the end of the earth I will cry to you. And here we have a reference to the fact that God is not limited by geography, even in those days. He wasn't thought by the Jews just to be the God of Israel, but of the world. The last line in verse 2, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, is an interesting way of looking at things. And we'll look at that a little bit more here in a bit. Now, seeing God as a shelter is a common theme throughout the book of Psalms. We see Him portrayed as a shelter, as a fort, as a tower, as a mountain, as a rock, throughout the book of Psalms. And here we have kind of a mixing of the metaphors. He has been a shelter. Well, he starts with, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for you have been a shelter. Now, a rock can be a shelter, but more often it's a firm place to stand. Here we have a firm place that is also a shelter. A strong tower from the enemy, or protection. And not just protection to see me through, but to keep the enemy away from me entirely. But we have the interesting juxtaposition or segue here. A strong tower from the enemy, and I will abide in your tabernacle forever. I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Now that's an interesting slide. From a fortress, a tower that lifts you up and away from the enemy. But the tower that the psalmist abides in is said to be the tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle to the Jews is more than just what we would think of as a sanctuary today, which would be like a church building or something. That's not what it meant to David or to Israel. When they speak of the tabernacle, they meant the place where the glory cloud rested among the people, where God Himself had His throne. Now, it's not just, you see the pictures in the Bible of this white building with the gold posts and trim and everything. You think, well, that's majestic, that's pretty cool. But that's not even the point. The Ark of the Covenant was in there. The throne of God, the mercy seat was there. Now, let's look at hold that image, because that's important. That's very central to what this psalm is about. We have someone here that is at the ends of the earth, meaning covering the entire world, whose heart is overwhelmed, who's swept up with trouble and grief. And when they thought they would slip and fall, or when they would disappear into the earth forever, they prayed that the Father would lead them to a rock that they could stand upon and be firm, that they might survive the coming trouble. For you have been a shelter, a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in your tabernacle forever, and I will trust in the shelter of your wings. Now, When we talk about the shelter of the wings, we think of Psalm 91, I hope, those of you who know the Psalms. And you think of resting beneath the wings. You think of a chick or an eagle, baby eagle or something. Resting under the wings of the mother. But that's not the primary image. That's not what an Israelite or one who's familiar with the imagery of the Old Testament would think. When we have the line, "I will abide in your temple and trust in the shelter of your wings," they're referring to the mercy seat or the cover of the Ark of the Covenant. And this again was the throne where God with us lived with the people of God. The point we need to see here is that this is Jesus talking. This is not David. This is Jesus talking. As he was looking at purchasing salvation for his people again from the ends of the earth, seeing the Father as a tower, as a rock, as the leader of God's people living amongst them and trusting in the shelter of the wings of the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Mercy, the mercy seat where Jesus sat among his people, where the blood was taken once a year to symbolize the salvation that was to come. Now again, people will say, well, this is about David, it's not about Jesus. Well, David didn't abide in the tabernacle. David wasn't allowed in the tabernacle because he was the tribe of Judah, not Levi. He had no place there. He was not allowed where the mercy seat was. He certainly didn't sit under the wings of the ark. Now, verse 5 says, "For you, O God, have heard my vows. You have given me the heritage of those who fear your name." Now, that is an important line. Here we have one that was given the heritage. What does that mean? He was given as inheritance those who would fear the name of God. David could not say that. Jesus could. As he is our covenant head, he's given us as his inheritance. And that's what that line means. Verse 6, "You will prolong the king's life, his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever." Now, David didn't do that. David knew he wouldn't live forever on the throne of Israel. But he's living forever in heaven, people say. But that's not the point. He's not king anymore. He stopped being king when he died and Solomon took over. But here it specifically says, "You will prolong the king's life and his years as many generations." The king that we're speaking of, that we sing of here, is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. "He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him." Looking for the coming salvation of God's people. "So I will sing praise to your name forever, and I will daily perform my vows." Now, David is not serving God's people as king in heaven. Jesus Christ is. He daily performs his vows as intercessor. As we pray to him, and as we come before the Father in him, he performs his vows every day. Again, David could not say this about himself, but he could say it about his son. Now, Jesus wasn't king, people say. Yes, he was. He was of the line of David. He was the rightful inheriting king. But he ascended the throne in heaven, not the throne on earth, so that he can perform this work. So what relevance does Psalm 61 have for us? If this is just Jesus talking to the Father saying, "Install me in heaven and then I'll reign," well, that's a nice psalm that we can sing to the praise of God. But there's more to it here for us. If Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, which he is, he is reigning in heaven, which he is, daily performing his vows for us, which he is, if he has purchased salvation, as it mentions in 5, 6, and 7, which he did, then we have much to rest in, to be assured of, to be grateful for, and to praise God for. We do have a mediator. We do have an intercessor. We have a king. We have one who stands between the Father and us. And as long as we're still in our sin, as long as we're still not perfected, we still cannot come before the Father. Now, when we die and all the sins purged from us and we're risen again in our perfected bodies, yes, we can then. But until then, we have Jesus standing between us and the Father, and bringing us to Him. Now, as we sing this psalm, I want us to think of Jesus. I want us to, well, God wants us to, see the great salvation as promised to the Jews, as brought about in Israel in the person of Jesus Christ, and presented in the Scriptures to us daily. And let us sing this great hymn, psalm of Jesus Christ. And we'll sing Psalm 61.